Hi, and welcome to the Good Dog, Happy Baby podcast, where we will help you prepare your dog for the arrival of your child. My name is Mike Wambacher, and I'm a professional dog trainer here in the San Francisco Bay Area. I've been training dogs here professionally for the last 22 years. I'm also the author of the best-selling book, Good Dog, Happy Baby, an in-depth manual on how to prepare your dog for the arrival of your child. I'm joined here by my co-host and friend, Morgan Dix, who's going to help me sort through a lot of the issues you'll be facing in this exciting phase of your life. He's going to interview me, and we're going to lay out a lot of information for you to help you enable your dog to make this transition into siblinghood smooth and easy and free of hiccups. So let's not waste any more time and dive right in.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to episode 6 of the Good Dog, Happy Baby podcast. I'm joined today by Michael Wambacher, expert dog trainer and author of the book and the course, Good Dog, Happy Baby. Mike, how you doing?
Great. How you doing?
I'm great. All right. So everyone, we're going to jump into this question. It's actually a little bit related to last week's episode, but it's going to allow us to go a little bit deeper. Last week, if you remember, we covered this question. My dog is used to being my favorite child. I'm afraid that she's not going to like no longer being the only little baby anymore once my baby arrives. And so we went pretty deep into that question. And now this week, Mike, let's address this question. What if my dog doesn't like children?
Well, that's a pretty big question, you know, because that's oftentimes that becomes an issue when, you know, let's say people have a 5 or 6 or 7 year old dog. Not only has he been the only child, but he's also, say, a little sensitive, a little afraid. You know, there's a lot of skittish, fearful dogs out there. They're great pets. They're friendly. They're sweet, but they're just afraid of all kinds of things. Definitely children, for dogs like that, A, they're middle-aged. So, you know, as they start to get middle-aged, you know, like any of us, we get more set in our ways.
I don't know what you're talking about, man.
Of course you don't. That's, I know, because 40 is the new 20, right?
That's right. Exactly.
So it's really an issue with dogs, with all kinds of dogs. So the first thing to know, obviously, is the sooner you know that, the better, because then you can be proactive. But it's a very tricky thing, you know, and I just had a client like that last week. They've got about 5 months to go before she has a baby, and they're concerned because their dog, you know, when there's like a playground near their house, whenever the dog hears the commotion of the kids on the playground, or it gets too near, a kid goes running by, the dog shrinks away, doesn't like, you know, is just afraid of kids, etc. So again, this is one of those things. The sooner you know that, the better, because then you can prepare for it. So what I've told them, and also, you know, the second module of my e-course is all about this, right? How to help a dog who's just generally anxious and nervous around kids. So, you know, then the next thing to ask yourself, okay, well, what's the degree of anxiousness? Is he trying to just shy away? Is he just intimidated, or will he lash out and bite? And of course, if he's going to lash out and bite, then, you know, we have a kind of serious situation, which I'll circle back to, but you know, most of them will be shrinking away, a little bit afraid. So in that kind of situation, you want to heavily engage with a process called systematic desensitizing. So for example, go to areas where there's lots of kids around, okay? Bring your dog, bring a pile of treats. And let's say you live near a school and the school lets out at 3. You know, see if you can take your dog, maybe stand on the other side, you know, on the other opposite side of the street for, you know, whatever the distance is where your dog is aware of all those kids running around yelling and screaming and is not showing extreme signs of distress, and start doing something fun with him. Now, for a lot of dogs, that's just treats, you know, bring in. We just, you know, lousy little dog treats. I mean, bring some grilled chicken or some, you know, something good, some string cheese, grilled chicken, meat, anything. And while all that commotion is going on, run him through his paces in a positive, upbeat way. And there's only room for positivity here. If your dog is afraid of a kid, does a little growly thing, the absolute worst possible thing you could do in a moment like that is to physically correct him in any way. Okay. I'm not a purely positive trainer. I'm not an advocate of force-free training, but in this particular context, you don't want to introduce any negativity, right? That's a big mistake parents make expecting parents make, is that they'll correct the dog for showing signs of anxiety, you know, especially if there's a curl or a growl, which is just a sign from the part of the dog saying, hey, I'm afraid. Right. So the thing is, keep it positive. Get near those situations where you know that the dog is aware of the stimulus, but the stimulus is not at high enough a level to totally freak him out. And then do something familiar and fun. Sits down, stays, roll over, shake hands, whatever, and lots of treats. And for some dogs, it's not the treats. Some, you know, there's so much obsession with treat training these days, and you know, and I do a lot of it too. But don't forget, there's other things that motivate a dog. Some dogs are really high drive on balls, on toys. So if your dog loves to play tug of war, then do it there when kids are around, or you know, toss him a ball to catch in the air. Just anything that the dog views as fun.
Yeah.
Connect it with the presence of that, and then slowly start to work your way closer if you can. One of the things, you know, again in the module 2 of my e-course, there's a lot of video of this. There's a place here. There's a big playground, and I think they're common around now that they're fenced in. They're very fancy new playgrounds with rubber floors and the whole thing. And
we have those here in Boston.
Yeah, and so but they're fenced, right? So one of the things you can do is you can go and kind of wander around the outside of the fence. You know, the kids. So you've got a protective layer there. You don't have to worry about some kids running up, plowing into your dog and creating a bad scene. So I just work the edge, the perimeter, just exactly in the way I just said, with something fun, treats, toys, whatever, and get close to the fence. Sometimes, you know, some kid will come up to the fence and go, doggy, doggy. And you can see, you know, if the mom is there, you know, if the situation is appropriate, see if the kid can give your doggy a treat through the fence.
Yeah.
You know, and just generally monitor your dog. Oftentimes when you do this enough, they start softening up. And then once in a while, you'll get, you know, even on the outside of the fence, you know, you can evaluate the situation. If a mom comes up, can my doggy say hello? You know, you have to make a judgment call, but, you know, maybe you can have the kid hand the dog a treat. If you don't feel good about that, just have your dog sit for a treat and focus on you while the kid is nearby, and slowly start to work your way into situations like that, and create as many opportunities as possible for your dog to start getting exposed to children. So with the couple I was just with earlier this week, I asked them, and I always ask people this: do you have any friends with kids?
Yeah.
And turns out, you know, they have a few friends with, you know, a 6-month-old, a 1-year-old, and a 2-year-old. I said, have them come over here as often as possible. Same kind of thing. Create fun, positive context. Use the kids of your friends to start introducing the concept. And, you know, obviously, I mean, it should go without saying, you have to be careful and monitor your dog. And I'm distinguishing between a dog that's snappy, you know, biting and reactive versus a dog that's just, you know, skittish and afraid.
Yes.
If your dog is snappy, biting, and reactive, then it's a whole other ball game. And then at that point, you probably need to ask yourself whether you can keep this dog with a baby or not.
Got it. Well, I remember we had one of those when I was a toddler, and we had to get rid of her. Because she, anytime that I was out on like my little kind of, you know, my little push bike thing, she would be nipping at my, you know, she'd bite, she'd nip, she'd get, you know, it wasn't like too malicious, but she was like a herder, you know, she was a dog that was used to herding. So anytime that I was like on anything that had wheels, that was it. You know, she would like, she just start biting, and then, you know.
Well, you know, it's a shame to hear that, because with stuff like that, when it's not directly related to anxiety or fear, when it's just a nippy behavior, you can stop that.
I believe it.
You know, it's not that the dog wasn't afraid of you. It was just like when you started moving in a particular way, it engaged.
It set off a drive.
Response. Yeah, it's like a fixed action pattern for a dog that, so that's in a way kind of sad, because that, you know, had they had some good advice, they could have got over that pretty quickly.
That's, Well, yeah, we didn't know. We didn't have that advice, obviously. But the key point is, you're saying there's a categorical difference between the dogs that shy away and wince and just kind of averse to kids than the ones that are actually kind of nipping and biting and kind of,
Yeah, especially if they're flat out aggressive. But even that said, you know, again, if you, when the third, like in that module 2 of mine, you know, there's that that last video, that last case history that we do, where we brought a dog that's really quite reactive to kids. He hasn't bitten, but he's very loud and very reactive to kids. And I had a family of 4 little kids, and we brought the dog over, and then we videoed the whole process during that hour of transforming that dog from being crazy, barky, afraid of kids to, by the end of the hour, playing with them. And, you know, that was a very interesting process. And, you know, I wasn't sure what to expect when we went to shoot that, because I didn't, you know, I don't pre-plan these things. I basically hired the camera guys. We went over to do this, and then we just shot and see what happened. And it was quite a transformation in the dog. So there's a lot that can be done. But obviously, yeah, this is the thing where you probably want to get some professional help. And you want to get somebody who's very familiar with positive methods. Like I said, I'm definitely not an advocate for purely positive training, but for this kind of thing, heavy-handed training of any kind is going to be completely counterproductive. So anybody who's got this kind of just correct them into proper behavior with leash corrections or something like that, that is not the way to go with this stuff.
And you're talking about, are we still talking about the first category or both categories?
Both categories.
Yeah.
Both categories.
Got it.
And
Mike, I have a question. So basically, everything you've been talking about here, this all falls under the rubric of systematic desensitization, right?
Pretty much, yeah.
Can you just speak for, like, just really give a brief? I mean, it should be obvious because it's implicit in everything that you've been talking about. But just, can you say a little bit directly about that theory of systematic desensitization? What is it?
It's very simple. It just basically means slowly getting a person or a dog or whatever used to something they find frightening in tiny little increments by connecting with something that they like a lot.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, if a dog's, that's what we're doing. The dog's afraid of children. We introduce the stimulus at a low enough level that it's not completely blowing the dog's mind.
Yeah.
And then start connecting with something the dog likes a lot, so that the overriding association starts to become, oh, the presence of whatever that stimulus is. A, there's nothing to fear because nothing bad ever happens to me.
Yeah.
And not only that, there's not anything, a lot of good things happen to me when that's around. You know, and then it's just that just takes time. It takes time, but it definitely works.
Yeah. You have another great video on the website with this, a little girl and a dog that's awesome. Do you remember that, the little baby?
Yeah, the little Cocker Spaniel. Now, that dog had already bit the kid.
Yeah.
I got the call to go see them after the bite on the face. And I think in the video, you can even see the little red mark on the kid's face.
Wow.
And through the process, through both a rank management process and a process of systematic desensitizing, we completely turned that dog around in about 6 weeks or so.
Pretty amazing.
Something like that.
And that was really through rank management, but also a lot of systematic desensitization.
Yeah. And, you know, another area of systematic desensitizing in relation to the original question about your dog's a little afraid of children and childlike things. They sell, you know, these audios of baby sounds that you can buy. And if you go to my blog, I did a blog on this. There's a link to a $3 or $4 audio file somewhere that you can download that's got all this stuff, and you can play those baby sounds back on your stereo system at low levels, and the same thing, then play a fun game with your dog or do some treat based exercises or whatever, and slowly start raising the volume so that your dog gets used to the various types of baby sounds that are going to be coming too, because dogs are very sound sensitive, and sometimes those harsh, abrupt, shrill baby sounds, you know, they're designed to annoy and get attention, right? I mean, nature designed it. So mom would find that sound so annoying that you'd do anything to stop it, which is like, if you know, find out what the kid needs and take care of him, you know?
Yeah. That's a great article, by the way. That's a fantastic story of how Mike uses, and there's like many layers to it. It's a real kind of exposition on systematic desensitization through storytelling. So please check that out. It's a great, great example.
Well, it was fun. I had a lot of fun with it. This is something I just came up with on the fly. It turned out these guys had a Sonos sound system in their house, which allows you from your iPhone or whatever, you know, smartphone that you have to control where the speakers come from in your house. So we had it. We ended up teaching the dog that whenever it heard baby sounds coming from anywhere in the house, crying baby sounds, that the dog would run to mom looking for a treat. And that was fun, because a lot of times they get, you know, the shrill sounds, they attract the dog, you know, they want to go and say, what is that? Because it almost can kick in a kind of prey instinct.
Yeah.
And the dogs can just want to run over and, like, in a maybe not very nice way, want to know what the heck's going on over there. And so we reconditioned that to teaching the dog that whenever it heard baby sounds coming from any room, run to mom, look for a treat, and then let's both go check it out.
Awesome.
So, it's on the blog. It's on the, it's free. It's on the blog. Just scroll down a bit.
Yeah. Everyone, you can check that out over at gooddoghappybaby.com. So I think we've reached the end of this episode. We got to wrap it up. Mike, is there anything else you want to say?
Oh, there usually is, but I think we're good for now.
Yeah. Good. All right. Well, so next week we're going to address this question. My dog is afraid of being touched in sensitive areas of her body. Should I be concerned? And so we're going to go into that question. And I hope you enjoyed this episode. Mike, you really delivered. Thank you so much. Everyone, thank you for joining us again. Head on over to gooddoghappybaby.com if you want to go further with this information, learn more about systematic desensitization. It's the first module in Mike's online course. His e-course is entirely devoted to this. It's really worth checking it out. If this is something that sounds like it resonates with your situation, go ahead, get the course, sign up for Mike's email list. You'll get a special discount code that's good for 1 week. You can get the course at a discount. It's already discounted. So please check that out. Everything's over at gooddoghappybaby.com. You can also check out his book. Mike, thanks again for joining us today. And everybody, thank you. We'll see you next week.
Great. Thanks, Morgan.
Bye.